That's great singing. Amen. All right, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll begin reading verse 5. I'm in a series on American idols. And so today I've titled my message, Mothering Idols. Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, it is a message of encouragement, believe it or not. So let's all stand in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. All right, you got your place? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. This is where Paul is writing to young Timothy to encourage him as he starts the ministry God's called him to do. Powerful verses, so listen carefully. When I call to remembrance the unfreighted faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and also persuaded that is in thee, and I am persuaded that in thee also, got my also early. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up, that's important, stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Father, thank you for your word. I pray today that every mother would be blessed and encouraged in this service. And I pray that we'll all leave here today saying that we've heard from you. Speak to our hearts is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There's a reason that I'm dealing with this subject today, not only because of this series, American Idols, but mothers are faced with a lot of idols. They really are. And sometimes it's simply for the fact that they want to be the best mom and the best wife they can be. But sometimes being a mother, being a wife, can be an idol. And we're going to deal with that today because I'm here to help you. Certainly don't want to hurt you in any way. Did you know on Mother's Day more phone calls are made than any time of the year? That says something. That more phone calls are made on Mother's Day. Did you know more cards are purchased than any other card throughout the year? I read about this man. He purchased this Mother's Day card for his wife. And so she opens up the card, and this is what it said. M is for the mink coat you want, dear. O is for the Oprah ring you crave. T is for the tiny car you'll love, my sweet. H is for that hat that makes you rave. E is for the earrings you've admired and loved. R is for the rug on which you'll tread. Put all together and it spells bankrupt for us, so I settle for this card instead. It's a good idea to buy a card, isn't it? So a junior high science teacher, he had lectured a series of lectures on the properties of magnets for his entire class. The next day, he gave his students a quiz. The first question read like this: my name begins with M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I? And half of the kids in the class wrote mother. That reminds me of the father who was trying to explain the concept of marriage to his four-year-old daughter. He got out their wedding album thinking that a visual aid or images would help and explained the entire wedding service to her. When he was finished, he asked if she had any questions. She pointed to the picture of the wedding party and asked, Daddy, is that when Mommy came to work for us? And then remembering the colors of the wedding gown, she asked. She said, I noticed Mom wore white. I guess it was a celebration of y'all's wedding. But, Daddy, I thought you wore black for funerals. Why did you wear black? And so it might have been because, anyway, for him. Anyway, so let's define idolatry. Let's define idolatry. Look up there on the board. It's anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what God can give only. Now, let that sink in. You say, well, preacher, that's a lot of stuff. And you know, you and I may not take this seriously, but look up here. God sure does, because he says you're to have no other gods before you. God's he's a jealous God, and rightfully so. So it's anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what God can give only. All right, three things real quickly because we got to go. Number one, family over foes. Family over foes. Now, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, there are a lot of foes out there. Certainly Satan and all his demons are against the family. But the foes that I'm thinking about that we're dealing with today is the foe of redefining the family. The foes that are destroying marriages. The foes of children without direction. We've got a lot of foes against the family. A lot of adversaries. A lot of enemies. But look what this scripture says in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfreighted faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that's in you. Number one, I want you to note that he's talking about a mature faith. He says, the unfreighted faith. That word means genuine. It means mature. It means solid. It means tried, tested, and proven. It's not just in word only. A sincere faith is a fearless faith. A faith that is faithful where God has placed you. No matter how difficult the circumstances are, you stay where God's put you as a mother, as a wife, as a part of a church, or whatever that might be. A mature faith says, I'm not going to allow some storm to rob me of my stand with God, with my walk with God. I'm going to stay faithful to my husband. I'm going to stay faithful to my wife. Kids, I'm going to respect my parents. You see, that's why we need to be here today, to grow in our faith, to mature. A sincere faith was in Timothy's life because he saw it in the life of his grandmother and the life of his mother. So I got a question for you as I talk about this second one, a mother's faith, a mother's faith. He says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Can grandparents and parents hand down their faith? The answer is yes. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What that means is this. A lot of people don't understand what it means. It simply means you'll never forget what you learned as a child. When I was a little boy, I learned a lot of scriptures in church. Do you know I memorized those? I've got those verses memorized better than verses we work on today. I can't forget those verses. It's like they were somehow instilled in my mind. And when you're brought up in the faith, you know what? That child may fall away, but the Bible says they'll never forget. That's what this scripture is all about. You will never forget how you were brought up. A true saying is this, the mother who rocks the cradle rules the world. I tell you, mothers have great influence. Can I get an amen? Franklin Graham, in his book, maybe you've read it, Rebel with a Cause, was sent to boarding school as a young man. Here's a quote out of the book. Whatever was expected of the student body, I wanted to do the opposite. He said, I got a kick out of staying one step ahead of the law. That's right out of the book. This is out of the book. He said this, if Billy Graham was the ultimate preacher, then Franklin Graham, he says, was going to be the ultimate preacher's kid. Fighting, high-speed car chases, firearms, rock music, and hard liquor. I didn't want to identify with Christianity. I prayed and attended church, but I found those things of the world more pleasurable and fun, and I didn't like being around Christian people. Life became empty. Something was missing. There was an emptiness that I could not explain. My joy, there was no joy, no fulfillment. He decided that he could not live in the middle ground, but he had to follow Christ or reject him. So one night in a hotel room, he said, and I'm quoting, he said he read Romans 8:1 in the Gideon Bible. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He said, I put my cigarette out, I got down on my knees beside my bed and settled the matter for eternity. Now listen to this. This was in the book. This gave me, this almost had a spell when I read it. Franklin's major influence was not his father, who was almost always off on a crusade, but the difference was made because of a spiritually strong mother named Ruth Graham, who learned her faith from her parents who were missionaries in China. That's a powerful thing. I mean, here's the greatest evangelist we've ever known, but his own son was more influenced by his mother. You know, it says a lot that she handed down her faith that she had seen in her grandparents and in her parents who were missionaries. And so we see a mature faith, a mother's faith. But oh, I want to give you this. Listen carefully. Everybody needs to hear this. A modeled faith. What does faith look like when it's modeled in front of you? Paul said to Timothy, and I am persuaded it's in you also. Faith has been modeled before Timothy by his grandmother Lois and now his grandmother Eunice. Timothy acquired his faith because he had seen it modeled before him. I want to say to you today, church, I had far rather see a faith modeled than to see the newest fads modeled by some little slick, skinny, sexy stick of a fashion model woman. I'd rather see a godly lady who models faith. Maybe she don't look like a stick, and maybe she's not slick and skinny, but you know what? She's modeling faith. And by the way, man, you know, we're so visual. You need to get your eyes on the wife that you had in your youth. She gave you children, and she's not going to look like a stick anymore. Hello? You know, the thing about it is, the question is, I'd rather see someone model faith than model the newest fads, because fads come and go, right? They come and go, but faith lasts forever. Amen? It's for eternity. I'm not mad at nobody. He saw it. Every time he saw them, that's what Timothy saw. Every time he saw his mother, he saw faith modeled. It affected him so much. It was so evident that it was a part of him. That's the kind of faith that's contagious. Amen? And then I want you to understand this thinking, and that is fresh over flesh. Fresh over flesh. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thy stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul's saying, stay fresh for Jesus and don't give in to the flesh. Don't get stagnant. Don't compromise, young Timothy. Don't cower down in the time of temptation. Stay fresh. Folks, everybody in here needs to learn how to stay fresh, how to stir up the fire of God in your soul. And there is a fire there because the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. So we should stir up what God has put in you. Amen. Amen. And that's what Paul is saying to young Timothy. How is that to look? Well, number one, faith and identity. Faith and identity. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Now here's where I'm going to talk about mothering idols. Because a lot of women out there have identified themselves by the world standard instead of God's standard. Somehow we've been lied to that this is what a mother is and this is what a wife is. You found your identity in the wrong thing. Paul is saying, remember where you came from. Timothy came up seeing a faith modeled and he found his identity in Christ. He says, you've been called by God. And moms, listen to me carefully. You have been called by God. Amen? Paul is reminding young Timothy who he is. Don't allow some idol to define you. When motherhood becomes the center of a woman's life and identity rather than Christ, a blessing easily turns into a burden. A path of joy turns into a path of despair. The attempt to qualify why your life matters by your performance as a mother will produce frustration. And inevitably, you will be so discontented. And no wonder many mothers feel like they're pulling their hair out because they're trying to somehow figure out, well, how can I be the best mother? How can I be the best wife? And when a mother is focused on the gospel as the center and goal of her life, she knows that she's going to fail in mothering her children in many ways. But her failure reminds her of how much she needs the Lord Jesus and must rest daily on her identity in Christ. A gospel mother has to have courage not to fear and bow before the cultural expectations and the mothering idols because she believes there is someone more important than those fears, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. She's found her identity. She's found her confidence in Christ. Any attempt to keep up with the cultural mothering expectations would constitute going AWOL. On the gospel mission of motherhood. Being a wife and a mother cannot define your identity. Your identity is to be in Christ. Faith and identity. Find yourself in. You say, preacher, why is that so important? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you the answer. Faith and idols. Faith and idols. That thou stir up the gift of God. Be the person God called you to be. Not what culture says, but what God says. Fan the flame of the fire God's put in your soul. Don't second guess yourself. Don't give in to your flesh. Give into your faith. Keep your faith fresh. Have you ever seen a woman, especially a mother, stirred up? Boy, I saw a mother here one day at church. She's here. I wouldn't want to cross her. She had two teenage boys plastered up against a truck. And she said, I'll tell you one thing right now. Y'all quit looking at her. You all know who she is. Amen. Give her a hand. That's called being a mother. Noah's pointing at me. Oh, you're pointing at your mama. Oh, okay. Is Jacob here? She had them both up. Don't mess with mama. I witnessed this. I thought she was going to take them out. But here's the best thing for you and I to do. Honestly, Tara was being Tara. Now I'm fixing to get, well, that, or Tara, you know, T-E-R-R-O-R. look up here. I want to give you a gift today for Mother's Day. Moms, you ready for it? You ready for your Mother's Day gift? I want you to watch this little video. It really spoke to me. I hope it'll speak to you.
No matter how hard I try, no matter how much I give, I'm not enough.
For who?
What?
Not enough for who?
I mean, Sean, the kids, for my mother, God, everybody, I don't know.
You? Not enough for you. I was raised in church. This might surprise you, but I have since drifted from the faith.
Shocker.
My mama worked three jobs. I never met my daddy. I had to get up early and walk to school, but I'd wait up for her coming home from the diner. I'd wait up every night because she'd come home and she'd put me to bed and she'd tell me something. She'd tell me the same thing every night. He loves you, Charles. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, or how far you run, Jesus will always be loving you with his arms open wide just for being you. And I'd smile and go off to sleep. You know, I saw something on Pinterest the other day. It was an eagle just caring for its young. It's a beautiful thing to watch one of God's creations just doing what he made it to do. Just being an eagle. And that's enough. spend so much time beating yourselves up. Must be exhausting. Let me tell you something, girl. I doubt the good Lord made a mistake giving your kiddos the mama he did. So you just be you. He'll take care of the rest.
Is that true? It is true. You know what? Quit trying to be something that God didn't intend for you to be. Be the mother God made you to be. Quit putting it up there as an idol. That, hey, well, I've got to be a certain way, or I got to look a certain way to please my husband, or I got to do certain things for my children. This is what this says. No, be what God says. Don't worry about what the world says. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Why listen to them? Amen? Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, who created you, and he made you the person you are. So why apologize for that? Somebody needed to be encouraged today. Faith in idols. I've never realized that good things, even godly things, can become an idol. When your identity is so wrapped up in your role as wife and mother, and this is where you find your value and worth, that something or someone has that much power over you, that is an idol. While seeking out to be a better wife and mother is a good, godly, important thing, it must never trump your primary role as a worshiper and daughter of God. You see, by stirring up the gift of God in you, then find your identity in Christ, then you can be the best mother. And then you can be the best wife. It's not you trying to make it happen. It's simply your relationship with God that will overflow and making you the mother that God designed you to be. That works. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. You just be what God has called you to be and keep stirring it up. In other words, he was talking about freshness, being on fire for God, having a fire that's in your soul that you just keep stirring that gift, that it stays fresh and it's got to overrule your flesh. And then faith and intimidation. He says in verse 6, the latter part, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You see, Timothy was named Timothy for a reason. Did you know Timothy was timid? He was timid. And Paul knew it. Paul was reminding young Timothy that first he had his blessing. He had Paul's blessing, but he had God's favor upon him. He had been set apart for a godly work and was not to allow anyone or anything to intimidate him. A sincere faith is an active faith, and in order to stay active, you must fan the flame, kindle afresh the gift of God, and don't let no man intimidate you. Stand your ground, ladies. Don't let your husband define you. Now I'm going to get touchy. Don't let that baby define you. A baby can become an idol. There have been many women who prayed, God, give me a child. And then they forgot that God gave them the child. They got so focused on the blessing of being a mother that they forgot God. I don't get that. Oh, they'll pray, Lord, give me a child. And then God gives you a child. The smart thing for you to do is what we're going to do next Sunday. Give that child back to God. And then you can be the mother that God has equipped you to be, because God's going to help you along the way, amen? Because you'll trust him. Last, and I'm done, believe it or not, faith over fear. Faith over fear. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Boy, this is a miracle. I'm preaching this short today. Faith over fear. It's a dynamic faith. He says, but of power. The Greek word there is dunamis. And it means power. It means ability. It means miracle-working power. God has not given a spirit of timidity. A mom was tucking her son, her small son, into bed one night when a violent storm raged up. And the little boy looked up at his mommy and said, Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight? She said, No, honey, I need to sleep with the other sissy, your daddy. God's given us the ability. I don't think the men like that. I want mama with me too. But anyway, dynamic faith is the kind of faith that says, you know what? God's equipped me. He's given me the ability. Some of you are hopefully will pick up the volunteer sheet today. Don't worry about your abilities. You make yourself available. God will give you the ability. Yeah, it's amazing what God will do when we get out of the way and let Him strengthen us. Mom, you don't have to do this by yourself. He is very much present with you. And that dynamic faith involves the power of God in your life, the power of the Holy Spirit that will give you what you need to be the best mom that you can be. Mothers, you know, I've often said this, women are stronger than men. They really are. I mean, how many men can walk around with that weight on them all day? You know, I've seen mothers, you know, they're pushing one, they got one on their hip. I figure that's why God gave them the hips, the whole one, and then push the other. I don't know, but I don't know how mothers do it. But I'll be honest with you, any man would tell you women are stronger than men. They are. To be able, it's a great responsibility. But God has not left you alone. A mom knows this. Fearless power means willing to step out in obedience when circumstances might be intimidating. Real Christianity is scary. I mean, when you really want to do things God's way, don't the devil try to do everything to rob you? I mean, you know, the devil, he'll lie to you. You're not the mother you ought to be. You're not the wife you ought to be. He's a liar and the father of lies. You've got dynamic power. Just remember that. You've got what it takes, regardless of what you're doing. Ministry can be frightening. Tithing might scare you to death. But God will make 90% go further than 100%. It's amazing what God will do when we let Him do it. Amen? But if you want to do it on your own, Mom, you want to do it on your own, Dad, good luck. And a lot of parents do. They think, well, I've just got to bear this burden alone. You say, well, it's not a burden. Well, it can be if you try to do it all on your own strength. Depend on the Lord. Second of all, a demonstrated faith. He says God's given us power, but He's given us love. The Greek word here is agape, of course, God's love. Actions speak louder than words. Show me your love, and you show me a faith that works. We were talking about this in the members class today. You can have all the gifts of the Spirit, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. The Bible says for a church without love, you are nothing. So what is the solution to our pervasive problem of idolatry? I love what Tim Kelly said about the only cure for idolatry in his book, Counterfeit Gods. Listen to this. What you need is an overmastering positive passion, he says. He goes on to say, Jesus must become more beautiful to your imagination and more attractive to your heart than your idol. That is what will replace your counterfeit gods. If you uproot the idol and fail to plant the love of Christ in its place, the idol will grow back. I thought that was pretty good. Faith is demonstrated with our love. Faith without works is dead. But I'm going to tell you something. Without love, you will accomplish nothing. Last, and I'm done, it's a disciplined faith. That's exactly what that word means when he says of a sound mind. Now, there's a lot of women who probably feel like sometimes with their kids they're losing their mind. But how can you have a sound mind? The scripture says that you make sure that you keep things in order. You've got to be disciplined in order to keep the idols out of your life. Moms, don't allow the idols of this world to control you. Don't be intimidated. God has given you all that you need to be the mother He has called you to be. He says, therefore, in verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed, Paul said of me. But he says, For join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. I'm sure that there is some mom here today that needs to let go of the stigmatism associated with being a mom. Don't allow the mothering idols of today's world to define who you are. Be the godly mother that God gifted you to be. Don't allow your family, that baby, children, husband, to become your idol. Many moms probably feel that they don't have a sound mind. Be disciplined in your faith by the study of God's Word. Stay close to your church family and stay focused on the dynamic, demonstrated, disciplined faith that God's given you right here in this word. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that it will not return void. And Lord, we're all guilty of somehow allowing, and Satan certainly is certainly subtle in deceiving us. But a baby can become an idol. Children can become idols. Husbands can become idols. I pray that these mothers will do what Paul encouraged Timothy to do. Stir up the gift that is in you so that you will be in a close relationship with God. Then you can be the best wife. You can be the best mother. You can be the best person. May we all find our identity in Christ, and may we not allow this world or this culture in any way to define us. May you define what motherhood is. We rebuke the devourer in Jesus' name, and we pray at this invitation that some mother would come to Christ in Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's a mom here today, if there's a dad, if there's a young person, you've never accepted Christ and you'd like to do it right now, I'm telling you, God, the Holy Spirit, I've been seeing tears in eyes while I was preaching today. God, the Holy Spirit may be working in someone's life. So I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer. And you make it your prayer right now, okay? Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and save my soul. And from this day on, you are my identity. I identify with Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.